righteous me. On the cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my loss he stayed to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he vowed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power to tell. Now the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. God, he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and set me free.
Caleb Shainer, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Turn over to page 49. This one ought to be familiar to us. 49, Alleluia, sing to Jesus.
Alleluia, sing to Jesus. His the scepter, his the throne. Alleluia, his the triumph, his the victory alone. Hear the songs of all the Christians thunder like a mighty flood. Out of every tribe and nation, Christ redeemed us by his blood. Alleluia, praise the Savior, he is with us even now. Alleluia, we'll be like him. Faith believes, nor questions how. Though the clouds from sight receive him as he enters heaven's door.
to 156. How can it be?
Oh.
Study on music, but we're not going to do that this evening. The Lord has working in my heart through some other things, and I'd like to just share an aspect here. I was seeking the Lord this week, and as I go through each through my prayer time, and I look for one of the sessions as a time to claim the promises of God, and I have quite a list of them, great storehouse to pick from. And look, read through and just keep reading until the Lord says, there, that one. Claim this one, you need this. And I did, and I picked a passage where my eyes fell across a passage in Psalm 2. So I'd like us to turn there. Psalm 2. And it became like a Swiss Army knife for me this week. Every time I turned around in conversations, God was placing it on my heart to share this verse with others. And it happened so frequently that it really got my mind to thinking. And said, I really was felt burdened and impressed by the Lord to share this with you and to just walk through it very carefully. So it's a little bit shooting from the hip, and but we'll see how things go this evening. But really looking at verse 12, and not the entirety of the verse, just the conclusion of this psalm. And this, in some ways, is a conclusion of Psalm 1 and 2 put together, because Psalm 1 starts off with a blessing, and Psalm 2 ends with a blessing, and both Psalm 1 and 2 together form the foundation for the entirety of the perspective of the Psalter. And we look at this last one here. It says, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. The first part that I'd like us to think about and meditate on is that this is a promise. It's not that you're open or in the category of possibility for blessing. But God says, you can mark it down. You will not find someone who meets the qualifications whom He is not fulfilling His word towards them. And so what is the promise? One word. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. This is a statement of fact, of reality, that God has given to each and every one of us, that the blessing is there for us. It's to be had, it's to be claimed. You think about, what is the blessing of God? We take one little statement, and part of some of what Brother Bobby was saying here, and he kind of paused and kind of articulated in a good way what this kind of life looks like. It's a life of peace. It's a life in which God meets your needs. In fact, if you want an idea of what the blessing of God is, God took Israel and He said, all right, I'm setting before you two ways, the way of blessing and the way of cursing. You'll find those in two chapters. My favorite one personally, though Deuteronomy is good, my favorite one is Leviticus 26. And He tells them, He says, if you will obey these words, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to bless you when you go out. And I'm going to bless you when you come in. I'm going to bless your storehouses. I'm going to bless you when someone comes to attack you. It might just be 10 of you, and you're going to chase 1,000. I forget the numbers there, but it's like maybe it's 1 chases 1,000 and 10 chases 10,000. I forget, but it's just astronomical numbers. And when you start to begin to think about it, what is the blessing of the Lord? It is everything that you need. Because that's what God wants to be to you. When you say, when God says, I am your God, He wants to meet every single need that you have. That's His goal. That's His delight. And that's part of why, and I'm jumping into the next part of it, that's why He wants you to trust Him for everything. Because He wants to supply you everything that you need. We think about in Matthew where it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's like going from a place of hunger to satisfied. In fact, part of what the Scripture is calling out to us, in Isaiah 52, He tells us, 55, verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. When we don't have the blessing of God, this is our life. The sheets aren't long enough. And that's actually an illustration that God gives. You know, you put the sheets on the bed and they don't cover your feet. And you pull them over your feet and they're not high enough for you. And it's just, it doesn't quite work. Haggai uses a different illustration. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He earns wages, and he that earneth wages to put them in the bag, and the bag has holes in them. You're like, man, I know I got a lot in here. What happened? The idea is, without the blessing of God, no matter how much energy, how much work, how much striving we put into something, we will always come to the place where we don't have what we're looking for. In the aspect of what we heard this morning, we'll be disappointed. You know what? The blessing of God is the solution to every need that I have. I firmly believe that. No matter what burdens on my heart, no matter what the need around me, the solution is God. Essentially, I read a verse yesterday in my Bible reading that was so beautiful. I'm just shoving it in here. It doesn't fit. It says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her, Jerusalem, a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory. I protect you from all that is evil. I will be a wall of fire like the chariots of fire around Elisha. I will protect you and I will be the glory within. I will satisfy you. And this is the great joy of the new Jerusalem, is that the presence of God and the glory of God is going to be present with us. And that means that we're going to be satisfied. Everything is going to be well. Nothing is going to be wrong. I want to lift up to your eyes that God and His blessing is the need of the hour. In every heart, in every life. So, to know that that blessing is a promise to you is of great encouragement. And so we find here, not only is there a promise, but there are recipients of this promise. It doesn't say blessed are all. It says blessed are all they that put their trust. So what qualifies me for this indispensable favor and blessing from Almighty God in my life? Everybody's used to rhetorical questions. This is weird on Sunday night. Trust. We have another word for that. Faith. Another word for that is believe. You know what? There's an aspect to which this is so simple. I hope you're not sitting here saying, oh man, I learned this when I was in, I learned this before I was in kindergarten. That's the first and earliest lesson. In fact, that's how you came to Christ. You realized that you had to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Depend upon Him and Him alone. That's the first step. That's the only way you can come to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so, yes, this is so small, and yet, I say small, no, simple, not small. Simple in the terms of easy to understand, but because it is so simple, there's an element to this that it is so vast. What is the blessing of God? I can't even explain it all, but it's everything you need. What is the requirement from God? Something very simple that if I will put my trust and turn to Him. I have to come to the end of myself and seek the Lord for His help. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The very same way that you took that first step and became a Christian is the very same thing that God wants you to do right now to receive His blessing. Simply put your faith and trust in Him. What does this look like? I think there's an element to which this faith, and sometimes we want to think about this, is do I feel like I'm trusting the Lord? Because we connect a lot with our feelings, and doubt sure is a feeling. Leaves us in this quagmire. And oftentimes when we think about faith, we want to feel the assurance or the confidence. Now, there is something about strong faith that gives us commitment. But faith here is not simply a feeling. Faith is a commitment of the will. I think it's why it's put in the way that it is. It says, blessed are all they that put their trust. You may not feel like trusting the Lord. It may feel like you are losing your life to give your life over to Him and sacrifice for Him. But God is calling you to trust Him nonetheless, no matter whether you feel like it or not. It's a commitment that you're making to the Lord. It's a value judgment that you are placing upon God. You are telling Him, you are faithful. Faith is humility. You know what? God wants us to be afflicted. God wants us to be needy. So faith is looking up. One of my favorite verses is in Psalms, which I didn't write down here, but he talks about, as the eyes of a servant looks upon a master, and as the eyes of a maidservant looks to her mistress, so our eyes wait on Thee, O Lord. We're just looking to You, O God. God, are You going to meet this need? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how You're going to work. I don't know how You're going to... I have no clue. I'm not the deliverer. You're the Savior. And yet I'm turning my eyes and I fasten my gaze upon Him. Faith is the sight of the soul locked upon God, seeking from Him what is needed. You know what? I have to put my trust in His Word and what He commands. When God speaks this word right here, I have to believe it. I have a choice to make right now in my life. When there's something going wrong, and, you know, there's always something going wrong in our lives, okay? Always something going wrong in my life. It can be on the small level. It can be on the level of relationships. You know, there's all kinds of different levels where things aren't right to what you need, and yet God wants you in that moment, in the crisis, no matter what pain you're feeling, no matter where you're at, to say, God, my eyes are looked face upon, fixed are upon You. And say, God, what are You saying? What is Your word to me? Because every command is an opportunity for faith. When God says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. I've learned to be with content, whatever state I'm in. We could find scripture verses for children. We've got probably 30, 40 children here. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If you're going to follow that command, what is required of you is to believe God. To trust God, because your parents aren't always making the right choices. Your parents don't always have the right attitude. They don't always tell you to do the for the right reason. It's the reality of things. But it's still your job and responsibility to obey. Because you look beyond your authority and you look to Almighty God. And you look towards Him and you say, God, I trust that You are working through Him. Every command in terms of family relationships, of how to deal with one another, how to walk in humility, to sacrifice myself for someone else. Everything that God asks is always requiring that I believe Him. Because that's what pleases Him. You know that every trial and every difficulty is an opportunity for you to exercise faith. You know, you're in afflictions, He says, but you're in manifold afflictions, Peter talks about, but the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what's so precious to God. That's what He values. It's not our strength. It's not our intellect. It's not our money. It's not our abilities. What God wants is men and women who are looking to Him, who are in need, and all they have is God Almighty, and they want Him to intervene in their life. That's to the one to whom God looks. Every disappointment, every unanswered prayer, every relationship. And I fail so many times in this, in the practical level. It's easy to tell someone else, live, walk by faith, live your whole life, everything trusting the Lord. There's an aspect to which, what does that look like? Faith is breathed out in prayer. If I'm trusting the Lord, I'm talking to Him. Because my eyes are on Him, right? He's in my picture. I'm communicating with Him. I was thankful that someone met me this morning and said, "Find I you praying?" Exactly. And if you remember that message from back where one man, that was how he addressed people, really stuck in my heart. And I was thankful for that because in that moment, was I praying? No. Was I trusting the Lord? I was leaning on my own understanding. Oh, I got to take care of this. I got to do this. Oh, man. Put on my best smile. Got to talk to people. But there is nothing that I can do. You can't partition your life. You got to go through and say, okay, what are the things I can do and what are the things I cannot do without God? What do I not need to pray about? What do I not need to depend upon Him? What does not need to be a sacrifice of faith towards Him? Well, that ought to be a really short, non-existent list. But we live like we can. The reality here is in the last word, well, let me point out, it says, "Blessed are all they that put their trust." Well, we've heard about those in the past. We've heard about our parents. We've heard about someone else's prayer who was answered. We heard about someone else's marriage who was recovered. We've heard about God doing something for other people because they have a testimony of faith. But if I put my faith in Him, is He going to meet me? No, He says all. And so because He said all, I can have confidence. That means Ben. Little me, if I will put my faith in Him, He will help me. He will bless me. He will meet my needs. He will protect me. I can do what He's called me to do. I can take the next step in the will of God. I can be obedient because of my God. I must believe Him. And the last part here, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. That is the most important part. The blessing is wonderful. You've got to be walking the walk of faith. But if you'll know the God who's calling you to put your faith in Him, you will not doubt Him. And I was praying this week, and it was, I don't like to do this, but I'll share in terms of, it's not too intimate, but it's just part of my secret time with the Lord. I asked Him, and I said, "Lord, I want to make this commitment to Him. God, may I never ask Him why. Not in this sense. I know that it's right for my mind to seek a reason because God has a reason. But may I never ask the question why for anything in my life because I don't believe that God is good. That I believe God could do something better for me." And I just wept because I really firmly believe, not that I will keep that commitment, my trust is not in myself, but that I know God is that kind of God who is good enough and He deserves that kind of trust. Unreserved commitment to Him in which I say, "God, there is nothing about You that is unholy. You are perfect in all Your ways. The way of the Lord is that's God's plan. Everything that God's, and I do not know what God has in store for me or for you or for us, but I know the God who is in control of all things, who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And when you say, God, I trust You, that glorifies God. That's what lifts Him up. That's what delights His heart. What's the opposite of that? Putting our confidence and trust in ourselves. Our mind, our perspective, our intuition, our resources, our power, our willfulness. Sometimes we just get in there and we can get it done. We can get what we want out of life. We just be persuasive and push through, demanding. Our never-say-die attitude. Our winsomeness. We can really figure life out. We can get through it. No, there's a negative side to this. It's so close to it. It's in Isaiah 7:9. It's a key passage for understanding the prophets. It says, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. If we do not walk in faith, God says, I can't bless you because it doesn't glorify me. If we make a choice in our life and say, no, I got to live leaning on my own understanding, we do not have the promise that God's given to us. It's so important. Faith is the lifeblood of our walk with God. And thankfully, we have a God who has never failed anyone. There's no record in all of the Holy Word of God in which someone trusted in God and He let them down. In fact, the Bible says, whosoever believeth on Him shall never be ashamed. Put your trust in Almighty God. Live your life. What's the Bible say? The just shall live by faith. I exhort you to do that this week, no matter what comes. Keep trusting Him. May God grow our faith and our dependence in Him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much for the love that You have towards us, the promise. Lord, may we search the Scriptures so that we may know Your mind and Your heart, so we might learn to trust You more. Everything in the Word creates faith. Because by faith, by hearing of the Word of God, comes faith. So every portion is a revelation of who You are that shows us that we can depend upon You. So, Father, I pray that we might seek as a quest, not only for this week, for our lives, to find those truths, those statements, those promises on which we can believe. And Father, may every problem, may every heartache, may every prayer be an opportunity, Lord, to exercise that faith towards You. May we see You fulfill the promise. May we be a blessed people. Thank You so much for blessing us with Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. You are dismissed.